This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run, and you're here with Wong Xiaoling and Roshan Karnison, who's joining us from the depths of Kuala Lumpur. It is now 7:06 in the morning, Wednesday, 14th of October. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking about how restrictions across the Klang Valley will affect the F&B industry. But before that, my favourite, markets, because the US didn't have a very good day. The Dow was down 0.6%, S&P 500 down 0.6% as well. NASDAQ was down by 0.1%. I think this is on the back of the reality check that stimulus is unlikely to happen before the elections. Meanwhile, looking at Asia, it was a pretty nice green day. Nikkei was up 0.2%. Hang Seng was closed due to a typhoon warning. Shanghai Composite was practically flat. Straits Times Index was up 0.6%, while the FBM KLCI was up 0.5%. But to tell us where global markets are heading, we have on the line with us Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Good morning, Jack. I want to start off with earnings season, because that has started in the US with major US banks leading the pack. Now, looking at the somewhat positive JP Morgan numbers that were released last night, and even Citigroup, are you a buyer of banks now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Good morning, guys. I'm going to lead off with, yes, I might be a buyer of banks, and I might be a buyer of banks in the next couple of weeks. I mean, we do have Bank of America coming out in the next couple of days, and then we'll get some of the regional banks out of the US. But, you know, I had a look at what JP Morgan and Citigroup reported last night, and on the whole, these were really outstanding results considering where we are. Just the premise, I think we've seen the peak of loan loss provisions from these banks. So what that means is for people out there is, you know, they're putting money aside for bad credit. We're seeing that reduced. We saw that last night from both those banks, and we're going to see a peak in those going forward, which means the bottom line or earnings of these banks should rise as we go off. We haven't really seen this credit cliff that we thought was going to eventuate. Now, whether that eventuates in, you know, first quarter next year, we do not know. But it's not as bad as we might have thought. Saving rates have gone through the roof. Their credit growth was quite stable. And the other big question you need to understand about these banks, and this is why I'm favoring a position in them, is that they are restricted from buying back their own stock, and they're also restricted in the amount of dividend that they can give out. Now, the earnings of what we've seen over the last couple of quarters, and I believe is going to continue to grow, means they're going to have to do something with that. And when those restrictions come out, and they will come out, they're going to either increase the dividend or buy back their stock. Now, the market's kind of predicting that might happen in second quarter next year, but just the way they're reporting, I think this might happen even quicker. So, yes, I think I might buy the banks. There's a really good position. Now, I've been up and down about them for about 6 or 7 months now since the pandemic. But, you know, I favor a nice broad-based ETF, and that could actually happen. So it was a really good result. The one premise that we need to understand is their forecast. So I think it was JP Morgan. They did forecast a negative GDP rate for the US at negative 2.4. And they also forecasted an unemployment rate in the US at 7.3. You did premise just before I came on that fiscal stimulus is the key. The market may have sold out that, you know, we're not going to get fiscal stimulus before the election, but I think there's no doubt, regardless of a blue or a red wave, you are going to get some type of fiscal stimulus, which should keep these banks in good stay. So the earnings were good. And then one more thing I'll finish before I go back to you is, you've got to remember with these banks is they're becoming more digitized, which means they need less branches. And I also think you're going to see a bit more layoffs from them, which means they'll be able to reduce their costs and again should improve that bottom line and top line earnings. So really good result by the banks last night.
Okay, and Jack, I have to ask you about Apple, because we know you're a big fan of it. You know, they launched their iPhone 12 last night. So what do you think? Is it going to help their share price? Because it has dipped somewhat just yesterday, last night, down 2%, although up 65% on the year-to-date basis. So are you still a bull? Were you impressed?
Yeah, I'm impressed with everything that Apple and Tim Cook does. And I don't
You're
say
just
that.
An Apple bias fella, aren't
yeah,
you, Jack?
Yeah, and I don't say that flimsily. I am an Apple fan, so I own everything Apple, right? So Apple phone, Apple iPad, Apple laptop, Apple computer at home. So no matter what, I'm going to buy the Apple iPhone 12. But let me put this into perspective for your listeners out there. According to Apple and some analysts out there, there are about 950 million iPhone handsets around the world. 950 million. About 330 million of them are due for an upgrade. So they're either 2 or 2 years plus old. So, you know, we thought the iPhone 11 wasn't going to be a great seller. It was their best-selling iPhone. I think the iPhone 12 is going to set new records because of the 5G upgrade. But it's just not about the handset anymore. You can't call Apple a consumer discretionary company anymore. They're almost a SaaS company. We talk about their wearables in terms of the iPhone watch. We talk about their move into health through that. That's only a segment that's going to continue to grow. You talk about, you know, them getting into streaming and content. That is only a segment that's going to continue to grow. And when you talk about their services revenue, you know, through the iPhone store and through the App Store, that continues to show double-digit growth and has done for the last three and a half years. This company is almost a SaaS company now, more than it is a hardware company. And when you're a SaaS company, you place bigger multiples. So I think they're going to continue to grow. I think this is a fundamentally very sound company. They got great cash on hand. And then the big one here is it's looking like a Biden victory. Now, we can't say that for sure. And I know we're going to talk about the election, I think, next. But that only improves China-US relations and only improves what is their biggest segment in the world in China. So yeah, Jim Cramer says it best. So I'm going to borrow his words out of CNBC. Don't trade Apple, just own Apple. And I think, you know, you can own it at these levels.
So in other words, be a long bull on Apple. And yeah. SaaS here means software as a service, right?
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, you're getting revenue. You know, we talk about monthly revenue or, you know, ongoing revenue. This is what Apple's built, you know, and that app store continues to grow. And then you talk about things like banking, you know, with the Goldman Sachs credit card and the Apple card, that is only going to continue to increase, particularly, you know, through the pandemic as we're accelerating some of these future trends in terms of mobile payments. And, you know, they're a monopoly in terms of the App Store, you know, that you've got to pay 30% before you get on there. I mean, that's you can't get around that. So I think this company goes from strength to strength.
Yeah, it's all about the recurring income. But like you mentioned, the Biden win, you know, it seems more and more likely. And I think we see major banks actually recommending shorting the US dollar. What's your currency strategy ahead of the US election? And we have 1 minute for that question, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't like a weak US dollar because I'm coming, you know, I'm managing Australian money. We're buying US equities that, you know, counteracts. I think the premise of a weak US dollar is going to be increased fiscal spending from the US. Look, the market's already pricing in a Biden victory, and I'll leave it on this, and it's rallying. So, you know, this whole premise that Trump is good, Biden is bad for the market, I think is being displayed. There are sectors and areas that will do well. And yes, the US dollar will probably do badly under a Biden victory because of the increased fiscal stimulus.
Thank you for your time. That was the ever Apple bull Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, giving us the lowdown on the iPhone 12 launch and what that might mean for the share price, which he thinks will just keep going on up and up, because you should look at the company as a service, software as a service company versus a hardware company. But if I bring the conversation back home, I think one of the headlines that we saw today was the Department of Statistics Malaysia announcing that the country's unemployment rate remained at 4.7% in August 2020. And the number of those unemployed decreased marginally to 741,000 during the month compared to July. It said that in its labour force statistics report. But my point about all this is that with the CMCO, is this number going to remain stagnant? Are we actually going to see a slight uptick? And I think at the end of the day, this is something we will have to watch very, very closely because it does have an impact on the economy. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.